All right, let's do this thing. Greetings, true believers, and welcome again to a very special installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3. I am the Holy One, also known as Craig. With me are Chaos72 and SneakyBeat15, better known as Ray and Ian of the Longbox Heroes Alliance. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, tonight we are joined by a very special guest. We have with us MPQ producer and also the producer of Magic the Gathering Puzzle Quest, Joe Fletcher. Joe, it's our great pleasure to have you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
All right, so one of our first questions is, can you tell our listeners exactly what is it you say you do here?
I'm a people person. So in general, what I do as a producer is project management. So I make sure that the artists are getting things in on time and QA is working towards what they need to work on in the build, make sure that everything gets tested and everything's being handled with the licensors, making sure that all the stuff that's going forward to Marvel for art animations and things like that go through and we get the comments passed along to everyone involved so that everything gets done on time so we can get a build in and get it released. So it's a lot of people wrangling. So yes, I am a people person.
And now you're doing
people skills.
You're doing it double time. You're doing it for both the games now.
Indeed. Yep. I mean, I've worked on every Puzzle Quest that's come out so far. So nice. It's nothing new for me. I've worked on the original Puzzle Quest as a lead tester and associate producer on Puzzle Quest 2. So various tasks on different games, but I've worked on all of them in some aspect. So when Magic was getting worked on, it was kind of obvious that I'd be working on it in some capacity anyway. So right now, yep, I'm doing full production.
Nice.
Awesome. So I'm sure as you can tell by the name of our show that we're really big fans of the game. We've been playing for some time. I'm on day 489, Ray's at 545, and Ian's leading the pack in our little group at day 560. But he started playing on Steam, so
gotcha.
Right. So I'm running two accounts now because I started playing on Steam and then I acquired a smartphone and started playing on there as well once I downloaded the app. Any chance in the future that I'm going to be able to merge those accounts?
Definitely a chance. It's been on our backlog of things to add to the game for a long while. The downside to that, and I don't want to get your hopes up too high, but it's definitely a chance. But, I mean, one of the main reasons that we haven't done it is the Steam user base is a lot smaller. They're a very rabid user base, don't get me wrong. Like, we have better retention. Players that play on Steam tend to stay around longer and play longer than the mobile people in general. So it's a great user base, but it tends to be smaller. So when we're talking about trying to develop features that run towards that, it tends to lose out on other things that we're adding to the game. So
yep, nope, there's no rush. I've been doing double time on my play-in for well over a year now, so no big deal. It'll get there.
So we're talking about the changes that have happened in the game since we started playing, and obviously we all play the daily Deadpool like every day, and to get the rewards and stuff. And when the Ultron and Galactus and the Ant-Man Amadeus Cho, so those are very similar to each other. When those came out, we thought those were great things that happened to the game, really keep people interested. Any other event like that that might be coming out in the near future that you're aware of?
I don't have exact stuff to announce yet because honestly, we don't have it nailed down. It's still kind of nebulous, but both the Ant-Man event and the Amadeus Cho event went over really well with players. Obviously, you're saying you liked it, and we liked it ourselves. Developing it was relatively easy compared to some of the more deeper events we have, and the reception was great. So it makes sense to do that kind of thing for other character releases that are something that we want to make a deal out of, as opposed to just it's another variant, whatever. That's definitely something you probably see in the future. More boss battles. We've got ideas that we want to do for new gameplay styles too, but those are, I wouldn't go into those just because those are, napkin style design docs at the moment that could get, tossed out at any time.
Sure.
All kinds of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. We really did. I personally love the Ultron and Galactus events.
Yeah.
It really gets our whole alliance, like, working together. We have a Facebook page that we use to communicate, and those events, you know, it just goes nuts. Like, everybody's talking about strategies and stuff like that. So, yeah. Grats on putting those in. It keeps the game really interesting.
Yeah. You'll definitely be seeing more of that style in the future.
Cool.
Sweet. One thing we wanted to bring up is we get a lot of questions from people on from our listeners about level scaling and how that works when you get into your slices. And, you know, if you follow the forums, there's always people saying, well, I think it works like this, and I think it works like that. So how exactly does it work?
Okay, so that's actually a kind of probably a bigger question than you're asking. But so there's two different things to think of. There's matchmaking in versus, and then there's also level scaling in story mode or the events. And then there's also bracket placement. So there's three different things there.
Okay.
Bracket placement is probably the easiest. We've got a couple of different brackets, one for newbies to the game so that they don't get thrown to the sharks immediately. So if you've been playing at all, you know, over like 30 days or so, you're not going to be in those newbie brackets. So you don't have to worry about those. Those are just for the newbies. And then we've got a couple other brackets that we put people in, depending on how well they've been doing. If they're getting snotbeat out of them event after event, they get kind of put down into a bracket that should be a bit easier, but obviously other people are doing the same thing, so it's still hard to say. But if you tend to be winning a lot, you tend to be placed against other people that are, you know, winning a little bit more, so it gets to be a little bit rougher. So there's no real science to being able to say, if I just lose a couple events, I'll have an easy time, because other people are doing the same type of thing, and numbers are going on behind the scenes, and it may well not work out for you. But that's kind of the idea there, is that that's how that is.
Okay.
So that's the brackets.
More of a balancing type thing than something that people try and keep it so that people can't just manipulate it to get wins.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. And you're saying it's more performance based than it is like roster based.
Yes. So the brackets are completely 100% performance based.
Okay.
That being said, there's also the PvE scaling, which is based on performance, but there's also a piece in there that is in place in case you basically make drastic changes to your roster. So if someone goes and says, okay, well, I've got a bunch of 94s, and now all of a sudden I've spent or just got a ton of rewards or something, and now I've got, you know, a roster that's full 3 stars or, you know, 3-4 stars in there. So we'll do a check on your roster and say, whoa, this person's majorly leveled up. If we keep their scaling at what it is right now, they're going to have 2 or 3 events before scaling actually hits them where they'll just dominate everything because things are going to be too easy and that's no fun for anyone. So there are checks in place for that, which is exactly where I'm sure this is probably what you're thinking of. Like if you get a 5-star all of a sudden and now you've got a level 255 character where you had, you know, 94s and some 120s,
right,
and now you've got this guy with a higher number, or girl, in the case of Jean Grey, pumping up your average levels, which kind of trips the, hey, this could be bad for everyone, which then boosts up your scaling a bit. So that's what people are seeing there. So it's in place to kind of combat people that would otherwise game the system by selling off characters and then like buying up booster packs and trying to, you know, game the system that way, which was a thing way back when, but since we introduced that, not so much. But then it hits poorly for some players when they get 5 stars or even 4 stars. They got a, you know, 1-star roster and things like that. So we are looking at doing some alterations to that to make things easier, but that's the way that works.
Yeah, we've been kicking that around, and our thought was maybe, you know, if you luck into a 5-star, you know, when you're, like my wife's in the transition, she's just starting the transition from 2-star to 3-star. But, you know, she ended up with an Iceman, I think. And, you know, so it's kind of hurt her a little. We thought, you know, what if you put, you know, either no ISO into that character, or if you could perhaps bench, you know, your highest level character so that they, you know, were unusable for you in an event, but then also didn't count against you. Maybe some kind of mechanic like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely possible. I don't know exactly what we're going to do there, because we're kicking around ideas too. That is, the benching is actually one of the things we've been talking about. That comes down to how do we want to introduce UI and how to make it, you know, user friendly for everyone and all that kind of stuff. We've also been talking about basically doing kind of an even cut where it says, okay, we're just going to cut out the top 1 or 2 characters and the bottom 1 or 2 characters. That way we make a better average, you know, things like that. Maybe that would work, but we're kicking around a bunch of ideas. We we want to make some changes coming up here pretty soon. We're hoping for January after we get our next big feature out to dig into that. But it's definitely on the docket. It's an issue. We're aware of it. We don't like it either. there's actually a couple people in the office that are hit by it. Just kind of, just to put it bluntly, it sucks. So, and we want to make it better. And we definitely are going to make it better.
I haven't been lucky or unlucky enough to hit a 5-star, so my team's pretty even right now. I'm okay with it, but as soon as you get a 5-star, it definitely jumps in as a concern.
Yeah, see, I mean, I haven't noticed it on my account. I have a Silver Surfer, but I haven't noticed that it's really changed my game really a whole lot, to be honest with you. I mean, I've got a big pile of 166, maxed out 3-stars, and that's what I use every day. So.
So what really hurts is when you're at the 2-star to 3-star transition.
Right.
So you've got a 94 or, maybe 120s at the top of your roster, and now you have a 255. So when you take average numbers, that bumps up that average number by enough to get you over that next little hump of where we place the different scaling modifiers in. So it's just math happens to work out that you get hit worse than you normally would. And meanwhile, the 166 people versus the 255, the delta isn't as big, so the average doesn't change as much.
Maybe we could find this crazy green mathematician guy who could help you out. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Resist.
Did his name happen to be Amadeus?
maybe, I don't know.
And then the third thing is matchmaking and PvP, just to get that out of the way. So basically, that's relatively simple. So that takes your average of your characters that you have, and then comes up with, okay, there's about your average level, and then puts a modifier onto it based on your performance. So your win-loss ratio, the amount of points you gained, the amount of points you've lost, to kind of get an overall score of how you're doing. And then it takes that score compared to where you are in the bracket. So if you have like 200 points, you'll be placed against other people with about that score at around 200 points, plus or minus, and it'll widen or restrict how far away from that score it's looking depending on how many people can find and how many good scores, good opponents you can find. So if, like, you've only got matches that are getting 30 points, well, that's no good. So it's going to widen the score a bit. So it's relatively simple. It's, based around an average of your roster and your performance. But again, other people are doing all kinds of different stuff and trying to manipulate. So it ends up being a little bit more complex than, if I just do poorly for a couple of times, my score will go down. It'll make it easier. Well, but other people are going to hit you and lose, and you'll hit a equilibrium point. Right. So,
and I imagine that is probably that calculation. When that calculation's done, that would be why when you start a match and it says it's worth 30 points, and when it ends, it's either worth 38 or possibly 20 something, is because that calculation is going to change based on the ongoing performance of the people.
Well, that's actually based purely upon the points. Differential between you and them, but when you're looking at them in the node before you fight them, that's the number of points that you get whenever you queued them up. So whenever that node was created, and then the points that you earn afterwards is based around the points that you have and they have at the end of the fight. So during that fight, you could have been attacked, they could have been attacked, you could have left that node for 2 days before you finally got around to it, so they're worth way more points. So the end result, sure, it said they were worth 35, but they were actually worth 60 because they ended up, by the time you actually fought that node, being at 600 points, and the differential worked out that.
That was a question I had got on the webpage at one point, so I kind of wanted to bring that up and make sure that was the answer.
Yeah,
very cool.
So one question that we had from, actually this was a Reddit user, that we could not answer was about cascading damage. So you make a match, and then there's a cascade, you get match after match. And the question was, it seems that there is a diminishing returns on the amount of damage that happens. But sometimes it doesn't seem like there is. Sometimes it seems like it isn't diminishing at all. So I was wondering if we could get an official answer. Is there some sort of diminishing return on cascade matches?
Yep. It's a pretty simple 20% modifier per cascade. So 1.8, 1.6, 1.4, all the way down. And the reason why it might look a little bit weird is it's being done by the best match of each of those characters. So if you get, a Black Hulk match versus a Purple Kamala match, it might be a different number. And so the 20%, looks a little bit off because Kamala's match was actually stronger than Hulk's, but, you know, it doesn't look like that because the second match was lower because of the 20% or slightly higher because her color strengths are better. So it can be a little difficult to work that out. But in actuality, yeah, it's just a flat 20% per.
Right, cool. That makes perfect sense.
Right.
Yeah, I assumed that there was because different times when, especially on, say, the Crash of the Titans event, it's a little bit more obvious because you only have that one character, so you know how much damage you should be getting. So it's a little bit more obvious in that sort of fight. But 20%, okay, good.
Yep. One of the other things to note there, too, is so since there is a 20%, you should also be matching the one that's going to be more powerful if you have to make two matches at once. So say if you move two gems, it's going to be, you know, a red match and a black match, and your red color strength is higher than your black for the characters that you have out. Well, move the red gem so that it makes that red match because it's stronger, so that way it'll take the full damage, and then your diminishing return will be on the one that's smaller.
Oh, that's a good tip. Thank you much.
Yeah, yep. Nice. Thanks.
Bouncing back to PvP for just a moment, when I am playing PvP and I'm away, how are my defenders determined?
Defenders are the last team that you brought into battle for that particular event. So if there's three different PvP events, you have three different teams, and each of them is for that specific event.
Does it matter if they've won or lost? Or
you have to win a match in order to set that team.
Okay, and if they are KO'd during that win, are they no longer available to defend?
Yeah, they're perfectly okay as a defensive team. So you can end up with one hit point on your last character, and you'll still have a full defensive team.
Great.
Yeah, I know we had some people who were, you know, theorizing that, you know, if your character was down, they would do less damage on defense or some such. And
nope, not at all.
Okay.
So yeah, if you want to set up a new PvP team, just make sure that you win a match with it. And the other thing to note is that if you have a team set, it will not update its levels or abilities. So if, say, you get a new red cover for, you know, Phoenix or something, and you want to make sure that she has exactly what she has at the character, win another match with her. Or if you level up a character 10 levels, win another match with that character. That way it'll update your defensive team. So your defensive team is set whenever you won that last match. So if it's changed since then, well, win another match.
Sweet.
Okay. Yeah, that was, again, two back-to-backs that were refreshingly straightforward. I felt like I'd been overwhelmed this whole time, but that was nice and easy. This is less game mechanics, more your preference. In the event that you can pick, a team of three, who do you go with when you're playing?
So when I pick all three, if I'm going against minions, I usually end up picking Steve Rogers, 3-star, and then Kamala Khan, and usually either Hood or Blade, depending on what I want to do AP denial-wise. Hood's usually better for, I'm going to be fighting like a endurance round here, so I'm going to be going against multiple opponents, so I want to keep their AP down overall. Blade's better for the damage and strike tiles putting out, things like that.
Right.
Cap keeps all the countdown tiles off the board, and Kamala Khan just roasts people with her green and purple.
Nice. It makes me wish I had Kamala Khan up higher.
Thor will do in a pinch.
Sure. Yeah. Her healing is the thing that would get me. Combining her healing power with Cap's, you know, returning shields is just...
Yep. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I saw somebody's combo that made me laugh. I want to try it. Is to combine Star-Lord with Devil Dinosaur and Kamala, just so Devil Dino can just keep waving his arms over and over and over again.
Yes.
For like one AP purple at a time. Just to get nonstop healing.
Yep. So originally, Professor X, when he was going to get brought out, actually dealt damage every single time a ability was fired. So that was a combo that we came up with that actually got it nerfed, is that you would have Star-Lord, Professor X, and Devil Dino, and Devil Dino would dance people.
Nice.
Well, it'd be funny one time, though.
Okay, so when this just happened, so my wife just finished the prologue. She beat the final fight. She came in and she was like, so nothing happened. She was like, she wanted to get a, you know, hey, you beat the prologue, you made it through every node once. And she was like, yeah, you get a producer on there, you should tell them that they should put something like that in. So I thought I would mention it. And the one thing that I thought might be interesting is if there was a message that said, hey, you know, congratulations, you won the prologue, just as a, you know, to let people know that they were through, and also say, hey, why don't you go back and get all the rest of the rewards that exist in the prologue? Any chance of adding something like that?
It's not a bad idea at all. Yeah, it'd be something relatively simple as putting in a message saying, hey, congratulations. I mean, it already happens when you finish out the hammer portion.
Yes.
So that, you know, it opens up all the verses matches and all the story matches and things like that. So another dialogue box saying, hey, and by the way, along with all this stuff, you might want to go back. That's a pretty good idea.
There was something that was brought up in our alliance. When you have to, say you have to wipe your mobile device, or, you know, when you switch and get a new phone or whatever, when you load up the game, you have to replay the tutorial before you can load from Facebook. And the question from our alliance members was, is there any way that we could skip that and not have to replay the tutorial?
It's definitely something that we want to do, yes.
Okay, it's on the books?
Yes.
All right.
I don't have a timeline for it, but yes.
Sure. Yeah, I'd imagine that something like that is a little bit of a significant change.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of dumb to say, but it actually involves a lot of, like, the back-end SDKs. Like, when we have a new install because, you know, we had an ad somewhere, and then someone clicks in and installs the game, where they come into the game and what they do in the game changes how we have to attribute where that person came from so we can pay the right people. So it sounds really stupid, but like if someone clicks in from an ad and then signs into Facebook and they had a game already, it changes how we have to do payments and things like that. So it's like,
sure.
Oh, well, it should just be a simple change. You just do this. Well, yeah, it sounds like that, but...
The history of every program ever written. Well, it sounds easy, but...
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to address some character rumors, because as I'm sure you know, the rumor mill is always full steam ahead.
Sure.
Most recently, I believe at the tail end of some update and some update notes, something was mentioned along the lines of a long-time rivalry built on speed, strength, and agility, which sent everybody, you know, racing towards a Spider-Man 4-star. And then, you know, some potential abilities were released, I believe, and everybody, not everybody, but a majority of players and fans were drawing conclusions that Miles Morales was right around the corner. Yes, no, maybe so?
Definite yes, actually. Right around the corner, very, very soon here. So Miles Morales is coming to the game, and then just afterwards we're going to be releasing a long, long-awaited Eddie Brock version of Venom.
Yeah. So, you're going to rescue Venom from the one-star purgatory.
Yep. Boost him the way up to 4-star. So
now, if only I can see Juggernaut done the same way someday.
Get the worthy version of Juggernaut. That'd be pretty awesome.
Oh, man.
I love his outfit.
I know. I love a big Juggernaut so bad. All right. Anyway.
We're going to be bringing Miles out, and he is a purple, yellow, red character. We've actually already got the ability presses up on the forums if you want to check that out. So yeah, basically he can turn invisible, and then while he's invisible, he makes some web tiles and then can pop out and deal some damage. His yellow creates web tiles, and it's also a passive that whenever web tiles are matched, gets AP, which is, you know, kind of cool.
Right.
And then the third one is his Venom Blast. So he, you know, blasts the crap out of opponents, deals damage, and stuns. And it's pretty low cost. It's only 6 cost. So
that's, yeah, for damage dealing and stun, that's a bargain.
Yeah.
Now that's outrageous.
Here's a question. Being that he's Miles and not Peter Parker, can you play him with other Spider-Men?
Yes. Yes, you can. So he's perfectly available to play, you know, Spider-Man, and Venom, if you want.
Yeah, I got to get my one-star one-star Venom in there just so you can eat people whole with all those web tiles all over the board.
Right? It's definitely doable. I mean, the thing is that guy's kind of squishy when you're bringing him in the 4-star land. So.
Yeah, Craig is unnaturally attached to that Venom.
I love one-star Venom. That's who I use every day in my Deadpool daily. My one-star character is just Venom by himself. He mops up.
Yeah, I use Juggernaut, Venom, and Iron Man just to have the all three, but, you know. Yeah, Venom himself would probably work just as well.
I ain't got character slots for 3 1-stars. That's insanity.
So, right. Eddie Brock, if you want to know about him, yes. So,
very
also,
much so.
Like I said, 4-star. He's going to be a green, black, and yellow character, so that's a fairly new, not a new combination of colors, but in that combination. So he's got Symbiotic Fury as his green, and deals damage and destroys tiles for each enemy special that are on the board. So if you're playing against someone like Dokken or someone that's generating a lot of strike tiles or defense tiles, blows those up.
Got to team him up with Carnage.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm on board.
So one of the things about Venom, though, this version anyway, is he doesn't create web tiles. So he makes use of protect tiles and attack tiles and things like that, but he doesn't actually make web tiles. So he's a little bit different than that Garden version. But his black is a complete passive, and it's actually kind of a new mechanic that we got in the game, which is actually to reduce and increase strengths of protect tiles and attack tiles on the board. So it actually decreases enemy protect tiles and increases enemy attack tiles by a little bit. So cut down their defenses, but you could take a little bit more damage from the attack tiles. So we can also use this mechanics of other new characters that we bring out and stuff like that, but new to the game.
Very cool. So,
yeah, super exciting.
Yeah, I totally think I need to have a Spider-Man, Carnage, and Venom threesome. That sounds like fun.
And lastly, there's his yellow, which is Lethal Protector. So this is kind of, Brock is a little bit more kind of like a dark anti-hero. So he's, doing good, but in bad ways. So what he does is deals damage to the opponent, but also creates enemy protect tiles in the process, as he kind of, creates a bit of chaos that the enemy is able to take advantage of. So it's a powerful attack for 9 AP in comparison to how much damage does for AP. But on the downside, it creates projectiles, which get then reduced a little bit by his black. So there's a bit of synergy there with what covers you want to actually level up.
Hmm. Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be fun to try.
Yep.
Yeah, I like a new good game mechanic is always exciting.
Yeah, so really looking forward to that. We got another, can't really talk about it quite yet because it's not even anything people could data mine, and I don't want to talk about it. But we've got another mechanic coming up within the next couple of months too that I'm looking forward to seeing used more of in the game. So, yeah. Gonna be something else.
Sweet.
But along with Venom and Miles, we've also got another story episode coming out here in December. So we've actually got an episode based around introducing this version of Venom to the game. Basically what's gonna happen is Hammer, Norman Osborn, is using his group to try to create a symbiote kind of mutagen that he can use to create an army. He's got Doc Ock working on it, and Doc Ock is attacked. And Doc Ock lets loose the symbiote virus on accident. So now part of New York has been symbiotized. So you've got to try to take that on. And the symbiote that is attached to Matt Gargan is kind of unhappy with this whole situation. So he pops back to his old form as Eddie for a little while. So looking forward to telling that story. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I love new story modes. They're the best.
Right. They're definitely, I would say it's one of the more... underrated and undervalued portions of the game. Like that Ghost Rider story was excellent. When Mephisto showed up, I was like, that's fantastic. Cause I was confident it was going to be, I don't even know the kid. What's that? What's his? No, Mephisto's kid. Blackheart.
Yeah.
Blackheart. I was like, it's going to be Blackheart and I'm going to be sad. Nope. It wasn't. They went for the gold and it was good. So yeah, this new story should be fantastic.
Yep. Definitely looking forward to it.
You guys crank out characters like crazy. I feel like I get a new character opportunity about once a month. Is that a fair timetable that you guys have set for yourself, or is it just a coincidence?
It's about every other week, actually.
Holy smokes.
Give or take a couple of days. We don't time it to like every Thursday or anything like that.
Right.
It's actually tied to like the PvE events that are running. And, it was a week one, so this one ends up coming out on Monday. And, whatever, just how the events happen to stack up. But it's about every other week. And right now we're kind of limiting ourselves to 4-stars. That is, every 2 weeks or so we'll have a new 4-star. And then we're also going to be starting back up the 5-star engine again coming up here, along with, like we were talking about before, some changes to matchmaking and things like that, so that getting that new 5-star or those new 5-stars will be as rough for some of the player base.
Okay. That's exciting. So obviously another cornerstone of the game is, the licensing that you do with Marvel. And, a lot of the times you do what seems to be a, you know, a cross promotion. If Marvel's got something coming out, you guys work it into Marvel Puzzle Quest. You stop me if I'm way off base. Because, you know, when you know, Ultron came out during Age of Ultron, you seemed to release Kingpin during the release of Daredevil series, and then we just got Ant-Man during Ant-Man. Why no Jessica Jones?
Well, we got the information a little bit later than we would have liked. So,
okay.
We knew about Jessica Jones in general, and we could have done Jewel or Jessica Jones, you know, comic-wise, but we wanted something that would tie in a little bit more to the story from the actual show itself. And it just, the timelines ended up working out for it. So, it's not a question that we would still not bring in, you know, maybe Jessica Jones or Purple Man or something like that in the future, but obviously it didn't match up there. But yeah. But
more often than not in the future, those are things that Marvel fans can expect. Maybe a tweak on Luke Cage or Iron Fist when those shows come out.
It's a definite possibility, if not a tweak, or if a tweak as well, but you know, that those characters or, what have you.
Right.
Originally for Daredevil, we were planning on bringing out the, old school Daredevil outfit. And then we actually decided, since that was, in the show and everything like that, it was Wilson Fisk isn't in the game yet. Instead of doing a variant, even though that variant would be pretty darn cool, actually, let's just bring out Kingpin. So that's what we did instead. So originally that was going to be Daredevil, but
Yeah, I love the King. Kingpin is the character in the game that, man, I wish I had more covers. I mean, I really, really want more. I just finally got him like 2 weeks ago. That's one of my, one of the characters that I really wanted to see. Speaking of which.
Well, he's part of the giant body part squad.
Yes. You're the giant finger of doom.
Yeah, that. Charles is giant melon head. I mean, it's all good stuff.
So we all have, all of us, I think, grew up reading Marvel, so we all have our own favorite characters. And a few episodes back in our podcast, we came up with some characters that we would like to see. Craig had Nightcrawler, I had Doctor Strange, and then we had some villains as well, like Blob, and I pulled out Crossbones. Hopefully you know Crossbones, right? Because yes. Ian and Craig couldn't
not
remember.
Not only because of Civil War stuff, the stuff is bandied out there, but yeah, just comics in general, sure.
Right, exactly. In any case, we also got a whole bunch of listeners who posted their favorites and some powers that they thought would be cool to see. We did hear that you mentioned that you're going to be moving away from X-Men, though, in the future.
For the time being, it's not we're not doing any more X-Men. It's that we just brought out, 7 in a row or almost in a row? Just let's go off of that family for a bit.
Right. When I heard that, my first reaction was, oh, come on, we need a Gambit and a Rogue and a Nightcrawler. But then when I was over, actually, at Craig's house the other day, and we were talking about it, and we actually... There are a lot of X-Men characters already in the game, so we get.
Yeah, there weren't that many, and we went, there's only this one, and 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 we're like, all right, maybe we're wrong.
Yep, yeah, that's one of the things that we're actually doing a lot when we're thinking about what new characters we do, is we actually throw them into the character families and say, we haven't done a character family here before, and like Spider-Man. Well, Spider-Man versus everything else that's been going on, it's pretty much just Doc Ock, Spider-Man, Venom, and then finally Carnage. So there's really only four characters. And then, we wanted to do a little bit more, so now Miles is coming out, got a new version of Venom, bulking up that kind of, that character family. So that was a thought that went into our heads as a result of way too many X-Men, what other families are underrepresented? Right. Let's go there. So.
Sure.
Well, part of that, one thing we kicked around, is you ever thought about having a contest to have players maybe chip into a character design?
We have thought of that. The rough part of that is sure we could take what characters you want, what kind of abilities that you have, things like that. But due to the way, we kind of develop the characters and see what sticks and things like that, there's a lot of times that we'll go through two or three design iterations on a character where an ability will sound really cool on paper and it just not work out in the game. And we hate to put in either a character with an ability that sounded great on paper that the person put forward that just didn't work out.
Right.
Or have to drop that, because it just didn't work. So the player goes, hey, I won the contest, but my ability is
right.
who knows? We could do that and none of that would apply. And we'd come out with a great character and everything like that. But it introduces complications that just might not work out so well, or the character could get delayed multiple months, or, you know, it's a rougher proposition. So what we generally do is we do the kind of quarterly, every 4 months or so-ish kind of like Facebook surveys and things like that to find out what characters people still want in the game, so we can, you know, seed our releases with that. Ghost Rider is a direct result of that.
Right.
He was pretty high.
Yeah, actually,
Ian voted for him every time.
Yeah,
I did. I really constantly am pushing hard for not Ghost Rider anymore, but Ghost Rider and then World War Hulk. I can't speak, but when Five Star Hulk comes, I'm hoping he's World War Hulk.
Yeah, and Silver Surfer was also our first Five Star because of that. Silver Surfer was another really high requested character. So,
and just before that, or maybe not just, maybe a month before that, you put out a survey that asked for people for their fit, and Silver Surfer was on my list. So Ian and I are both winners in this contest that you didn't
Gee, know. I'm so sad. I'm still begging for Nightcrawler. He's my guy.
So, you know, when people say you need to vote to make a difference, it really does.
Yeah, exactly.
Get out there and vote.
this just popped into my head. And I said, if we ever got to talk to someone, I'm bringing this up. What can I do to get you to change the name of Squirrel Girl's Power to Squirrels instead of Furry Friends? I just think it rolls off the tongue so much better.
I can bring it up. That is hilarious. Works with the whales.
Yeah, that's my team. I want to keep it up with ants, squirrels, and whales. It'll be like, you know, the all zoo squat, you know, tax squad or something. I don't know.
We're not.
I just couldn't resist.
I can bring it up. I can't promise anything.
I'm willing to wait for the Doctor Strange movie for Doctor Strange, but anytime you get back to X-Men, please get Nightcrawler.
He's another case of, well, do we bring him out now as, you know, obviously, you know, 616 Strange, maybe with an axe, maybe without, like, depending on what version we decide to do.
Right.
Or do we wait and do, you know, kind of more movie-oriented or something like that? So, or do we do both and, you know, not worry about the release cadence so much? Like, so I wouldn't count him out before the movie comes out.
Sweet.
Yeah, that would be very cool. He's by far one of my, he's just an interesting character and one of my favorites. Yeah.
Well, you tie him into a special Dormammu event, like the Galactus event or some such. It'll be awesome.
Yep, and Dormammu would be a definite boss-type character.
Right. I mean, yeah, he's not going to be playable, but he'd be awesome. What else we got, guys?
Is it safe to believe, Joe, that you've been playing this game since day one?
Yep, day one of soft, well, and before, obviously, development.
Right.
Yeah, so.
What would you say is the most significant, I guess, change or update that they've made since then? I mean, I've always thought that when you change the environmental tiles to team up tiles, that's probably been my ongoing favorite, but perhaps I'm missing one in there.
Well, really, really early on, before most people were playing, characters had 20 abilities per ability instead of 5. So it meant that
you could max everybody out.
Well, it meant that you had to get 50 total covers out of 60
right.
instead of 13 out of 15.
So
covers were given out a little bit more, you know, often, but it need for, all right, well, I just gained one whole cover. Okay, I just need one whole cover. So, like, you need 20 in order to max this thing out. So it kind of slowed down the feeling of, you know, building the character, and it slowed down the, sweet, I just got a cover, more powerful, sweet, instant, which, you know, wasn't quite a thing. So we changed that to the 5 covers, and that was really early on, but that was a huge sea change in how kind of characters felt. A little bit later on in the game, I would say, honestly, one of the things that it didn't work out, but one of the things that provided a sea change in how we designed our characters was actually doing the gold characters for a while. So, Thor and Storm, the characters that are just stronger than their 2-star variants, but they work generally the same.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we had tried that, as a way to get more characters out in less time, because we wouldn't have to do as much development time on the abilities. We just kind of tweak them a little bit and be good to go. But also as a way to see how our designs worked out when we did kind of increase power levels without changing the design as a whole. And players reacted pretty strongly to it in the negative, which is fine. You know, not everything that we bring out is going to be a hit, which is great. You know, at least we know where we're headed and whether we're hitting this. So even misses sometimes are good. But what it did is it kind of changed our design philosophy into, okay, well, players most definitely don't want to see the same, even if it's a more powerful same. So we need to make sure that the new characters we're bringing out do something different every time. Even if their theme is similar to another character, make sure that they have something special that completely separates them from either their variant or, you know, how their ability works. We don't want just a Wolverine red where it just deals damage. Well, if we do another red ability, it needs to deal damage and do something else, or deal less damage for far less AP, or, you know, change up the design philosophy on every character. So it was something minor that we missed with, but it was a hit because it made the character more varied down the line, which I think worked out pretty well.
Right.
Well, I mean, to go with that, was there ever any thoughts of retiring a character? I'm sure you can probably see stats as to which characters are used and which ones aren't used. Like, I feel that Bagman is never get played by anyone.
Right, he does get a kind of a rough rap. Him and Ragnarok are definitely on the low end of the totem pole.
So when we originally did these, it was kind of a rotation, what we were calling the Vault before the Vault, that feature ever came out. But right. Basically what we did is when there were too many 3-stars and we couldn't make the token pulls work well enough, we started vaulting characters, you know, just kind of putting them into the fridge, took them out of the packs.
Right.
And that way we keep the odds for other characters. So Ragnarok is one of the ones that first did that too. And
well, Devil Dino kind of disappeared for...
Yeah, well, Devil Dino is a anniversary exclusive. So okay. He only comes around for our anniversary and then pops off again. So,
okay.
So he's a special case.
Okay.
But yeah, we tried doing the retiring thing, but it was mostly because of the odds. We more like the idea of even if the character isn't, you know, well loved necessarily, like gameplay wise, they're not as powerful or not seen as powerful, that players can still use them. I mean, not my favorite, but I'm sure somewhere out there, Ragnarok is that person's favorite character. So to not be able to earn them arbitrarily because of, you know, one reason or another, just meh, you know. So we in general want to make characters available all the time. Like I said, Devil Dino is a little bit special.
Right. I know, but we have at least one listener who keeps trying to convince us that how great Ragnarok is, and I guess we're going to have to revisit him for one of our shows and play him for a week and
right, really
report back again, but
give him a fighting chance.
he's not bad. He's not one of the uber 3-star characters, but after his refactoring, he's not bad. His major problem is that his AI, or the way the AI works, just it doesn't end up playing him very well. So.
Well, hey, he nonstop heals a lot. I mean,
yeah,
he's got that going for him.
This is true.
The thing I like least about him is when you get him as one of your team-up rewards. His healing power?
Yeah.
I immediately just use it in the next match and fire it off just to get it out of them, just to get rid of it. Because I don't ever use him, so I'm like, nah, this is gone. All right, I think we're starting to wrap up. Since it just launched, what, officially last week? The Magic the Gathering puzzle quest. What can you tell us all about that?
Well, I mean, obviously it just launched. We've got almost the full origin set in there. I don't know how much of a Magic players in particular you are versus, you know, card game versus MTGPQ.
Yeah, I actually, for the most part, quit playing Magic in 1996 or 97. I was a big player in 93, 94, 95. Those were my big Magic years.
Yeah, I picked it up during high school and then dropped it again. And then picked it up on and off, like I would pick up a starter or, you know,
right,
whatever, you know, because people wanted to play or what have you. And then I got back into it when we had the opportunity to do this, and I'm back into the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm still wishing I still owned my old alpha and beta cards that I used to have because I could, you know, maybe retire.
Yeah, if you had any Moxes or Black Lotus or...
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That.
Yeah, yeah. Back then they paid my rent, so when I got rid of them. Now they're worth way more than that, even.
Yep.
But I know Eden and I have started playing the game, but it's a little different mechanic since you've got the cards involved as opposed to heroes.
Yep. So, quite different.
Right. So how long did it take to get the mechanics of that worked out?
I mean, the development time in the game, like pre-pro and everything like that, from actually putting the first bit of code onto a computer to actually getting it out was about 8 months, but there was a ton of time before that when we were looking at just mashup strategies, basically, mm-hmm. You know, how we wanted to use mana and how it would be used to cast different spells, how the spells would actually work in the game, because, you know, having enchantments and enchant creatures and instants and, you know, all the different spell types and things like that,
right,
works fine for the card game when you're able to sit there and, you know, strategize with something static. But trying to fit all that onto a phone and still have it appear correctly and have it directly accessible to just about anyone that just kind of wants to match some gems, not so easy. So we had to make some modifications. And I honestly think we did a really good job of kind of bringing across just the feel of this is how a card in Magic would work if you played it as a card. But because the gem board exists and because of how this works, this is what it's like here. You know, right. So it kind of keeps both of those feels to it.
Yeah, my initial thought when I started playing it is, you know, boy, how are we going to do this with all the colors? You know, if I make a red match, I make red mana, but most of my cards are black cards. I'm never going to get to play them. So I guess that part, you know, had to get tweaked, you know, since Magic is much more of a mana color lock kind mm-hmm. of game in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, we went through iterations where decks were 60 cards and you drew lands and lands played gems on the board and, you know, other ones where it was kind of like MPQ charge tiles where it charges up certain tiles. Like, we tried multiple different things, and then someone came upon the idea of, well, what if everything's just colorless? It's like, right. Wait, can you do that? Magic's about the colors, right? Right? Well, yeah, but if we do it this way, it works. Oh, this is pretty fun. And wow, okay. So, yeah, it was kind of a let's think outside the box here for a second, guys, type thing. And it worked out.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I started playing Saturday afternoon. We were taking a break from our D&D campaign. I think we were eating dinner or something. And I fired up a few matches. And I think Ian started playing today?
Last night. Last night, my friends told me that it had launched and to get on board, and I thought I would give it a chance. So far, so good.
Now, I have it downloaded, but I'm too busy trying to get those command points in the current event.
That is something we didn't really talk about. How much thought did, you know, was given into adding that third kind of currency, you know, into the game to generate those legendary tokens?
So command points were actually originally not for legendary tokens. The legendary tokens was actually a afterthought thing. Where it's like, well, we want to do 5 stars and we want to do legendary tokens. How are we going to get those out? And someone's like, well, we can give them as rewards, but giving out a command or a legendary token should be a thing. Like, you just got a 4-star, possible 5-star. That's kind of cool. Yeah. So giving one out is a kind of big thing. So we were like, well, how can we break those up? And then command points came in because we were looking at those as a way to level up 5 stars in the first place. And we said, okay, well, actually, let's use those for legendary tokens too. So you can get, you know, command points in order to get legendary packs and things like that. And then we can expand that system out to, you know, use elsewhere in the game too. And it's a currency that you can't buy. You have to earn it. And, you know, it's only applicable to certain portions in the game.
Right.
And then we also have the alliance method of gaining it, where if someone else in your alliance buys an in-app purchase, everyone in your alliance gets command points and stuff as a kind of, you know, way to reward other people for, you know, being cool to one another and, you know, supporting our game. So.
Yep. We thank our members of our alliance every time they buy something because it helps out the whole group.
Yep. Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. So I was just going to say, I mean, originally it actually wasn't for the legendary tokens, but it just worked out that way.
Right.
So.
Well, because we were digging up questions now that I had forgotten to ask earlier, and that I was curious about this. And please continue talking about something else if this is a no-fly zone. But I don't remember if it was official or if this is just the good old rumor mill about a potential upcoming mechanic that has something to do with turning characters into champion characters that lets me freely rearrange their ability levels.
Definite rumor mill thing, yes.
Okay.
There's grains of truth there. So one of the things about data mining, and that's where this came from, is there are a lot of things that we do in the game that kind of make it onto what we call our staging servers, which is the staging server is the server that everything goes to that is a copy of the live server to make sure that everything works before it gets pushed live. And sometimes when we're putting things through, in order to make things interoperate correctly, some strings have to go to the live client just to make sure that the staging server doesn't blow up when those same things are there.
Okay.
So as a result, some people are able to data mine some of those in-game strings and things like that out. But that doesn't mean that the features that we're working on all end up coming out or coming out in the way that they're, you know, right. They're planned. Like, for example, we had this thing that we were calling Trials, which was kind of like, think of it as a mix between Gauntlet and Deadpool Daily. So a kind of long-term thing that resets every day and you try to see how far you can get into it. And each of the battles was based off of all the What If comics that came out.
Oh, wow.
But we couldn't get the balancing right and it wasn't fun because basically there's as many What Ifs as there are, there's really a limited amount.
Right.
So you get used to having the fights and things like that. So those strings were in the game, and it was something that people data mined for a while, and they're like, hey, this is kind of, and then it just disappeared. So there's grains of truth in the whole champion thing, but I can't say that A, it'll come out, B, it'll come out in the way that, you know, you're seeing in the data mine thing. But yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, nope. I was just curious, and I didn't even know that was a thing until you explained it to me. So double thanks.
Yeah. No problem. Yeah. One of the other things, I don't remember exactly when this was, but there was a character that we were working on, and I'm trying to remember who it was, but it was a character that we got, you know, through the basically base design phase where they were stubbed into the game, and they got data mined out, and we never ended up doing that character. And I don't remember who it was, but that was another case of, well, great that data's out there, but sorry, guys.
There's where my Nightcrawler went.
Oh. Probably.
Not Night, but it was a Dark Elves minion group. So, yeah.
All right, I know, Anjo, we could talk all night because we have, the three of us, sometimes when we get together, and we will sit and talk about Puzzle Quest for hours at a time.
Right, that's
and,
why our
and
that's
we do it weekly for a podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's why our wives have taken to playing the game, because they're like, well, at least we could interact, I guess. Yeah.
Well, and the best part is they made their own alliance that is called the MPQ Widows. So,
they secretly love the game. We're not fooled.
Yeah, if there's any other wives out there who are maybe looking for alliance, join our wives and you can all talk about us. But yeah, Joe, I want to thank you for coming on the show. And man, if we could ever get you to come on in the future when after new things come out or we could, you know, talk about new features, we would love to have you back.
Yeah, it's a possibility. Just, you know, depends on scheduling and everything like that. So,
but yeah, it's been great fun for us. And hopefully the listeners got to pick up some knowledge, because I get a few hints out of some of that stuff we were talking about earlier. But I think, you know, it's really good stuff tonight. And I'm glad you could have you on.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Outside of the technical difficulties. Worked out. Cursed Skype Comcast. Skype.
Right. We edited those out. There were no technical difficulties.
Oh, never mind. I didn't say it. Okay. Everything was perfect.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Solid gold. Thank you so much. I can't say it enough. This was one of our finest episodes.
Well, thank you. Well, you guys have a good rest of the evening.
You too.
Thank you so much. Ian, give me the podcast network.
Oh, my goodness. The soon-to-be-named podcast network. When you need more than one great podcast, tune into the soon-to-be-named podcast network, where you can enjoy such shows as The Long Box Heroes, hosted by Leonard F. Chikarasin and Todd, where they talk about all things comic books. You can tune into our live YouTube show, The Fresher in Parlance Show, hosted by none other than Fresher in Parlance, where they talk about the events of the week. You can tune into The Podvocacy, hosted by David and Jason, where they talk about all their pop culture interests. Or, are you all ready for this? You can tune in to the Prodigal Sons podcast, where they talk about not a lot these days. They mostly just play. They mostly just play games, and you listen to them play the games. This week's game, you guessed it, Cards Against Humanity again, just for Craig. Sorry, we just can't get enough of that game.
Oh, I've got enough of that game the one time ever. Okay,
soon to be named network. Check us out. All the links are available on our webpage, PuzzleWarriors3.com. Take us out. Tune our listeners into our regularly scheduled program.
Oh, you kind of did that part, so I was just going to quit.
Oh, okay. And end scene.
Good night for now. Keep those shield resupplies a-flowing.
Good night.
All right. Bye, friends. Thanks for tuning into this very special episode of the Prodigal Son. Oh, not the Prodigal Son. Oh, I ruined it!
You bungled it.
Again. Why did you fail the outro?
That's why. You are failed. You're no longer ever allowed to do it again.
Oh, the Puzzle Warriors 3. I'm fired.
Oh.
My finest hour turned into my darkest day.